the time has come to get ready for the 2022 World Cup. And what better way to prepare than by revisiting the World Cup's most amazing goals? I'm Brian Phillips. I'm making a podcast about the history of the Men's World Cup, told through the stories of 22 iconic goals. The show's called 22 Goals. It's out now on the Ringer Podcast Network, and we're having so much fun.
Changing up the whole intro. Ben Watson is the most sensitive man in America. Can we start with that?
No.
Okay.
Nobody even knows the reference.
Eduardo is
now
here.
You have to at least.
Eddie, our 19th producer of the podcast history in the life
he's
of the show.
Not permanent. He's filling in for Carlos. He's out
this Chargers week. Fan, we learned.
And Padres.
Heck of a memory.
I know. Okay. I love
what Padres. Happened to your boys last night, by the way, Eddie? Not the best showing for Justin Herbert. Internet. We're just going to keep recording. That's fine. So obviously you can't see this. We're in the studio. This studio, Simmons is going to hate this show. I can already tell you.
Don't say that.
This studio is located about, what, a mile? 2 miles from a...
From an active volcano.
What is that called?
It's a quarry.
A quarry.
Uh-huh.
The blasting will shake the building. For some reason, whatever the reason is today, our internet keeps dropping in and out. So Eddie was here, now he's gone. Just me and Jesse talking.
It's great. I'm glad that I've already looked up all my data because I literally can't look up anything else. Yep.
All right, so we're going to get right into the opening topic I want to hit real quick. This came up on Twitter recently in a private conversation, and it has actually been – I've been seeing this around a lot more. And it's starting to really aggravate me.
It's really bugging you.
I can tell. It's like, dude, you got to start warning your audience. Everything's going to zero. Why aren't you doing this? The doomsday people, I really don't understand what they think is going to happen here. Like, the market has harshly corrected. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to continue to see drops in certain areas. Like, what else is there to say? And this notion that nobody is talking about it, this is all I hear from everybody. The sky is falling. What else do you want us to say?
When he says, or when people say go to zero, in your mind, does that mean like even like just nothing has value? Or are we
That's
just talking
mean.
About like, yeah.
What
like,
are we talking about? And
because how could we go to a market where nothing, there's never been a time where nothing had value.
It's an economic recession and the market is doing fairly well compared to where it was at a month ago. Like it's about where it was.
The overall card market has not gone down as much as the stock market has.
I'm not sitting here trying to pump the card market. Like I understand it's been tough times. But like this thought that everything's going to zero, all the big players who came in are leaving. No, individuals who came in with money and bought without doing research have left because quite frankly, they were clownish in coming in and spending money in a field they knew nothing about. But in general, I mean, Fanatics, multi-billion dollar company, not going anywhere. Topps, huge company, hundreds and hundreds of millions acquired by Fanatics. Grading has exploded the past 2 years, and that really hasn't slowed down. Yes, pricing is down, but volume is way, way up. That's a multi-billion dollar industry still, as is Panini. So I guess, like, are singles prices down to a degree? Yes. Wax as well, coming out. It's cheaper than it's been in recent history. But this thought of, like, not only is it going to zero, but why is no one talking about this? I hear about this more than anything else. The only thing I can think is this is mainly people who have missed the boat. They have missed the mark of making their money, and they just
you
are
think
now
it's like FOMO for these guys.
I just think now they're excited to be like, "Hey, everybody else is," because it's the same people who will post on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, mm-hmm. like feeling good about those Zach Wilson purchases. Now he had
the
a bad
guys
game.
Just love to dig into every opportunity they can see.
I guess that's what it is, and it makes sense. Like you post something negative, it gets way more views than anything else, anyways. Thankfully, I could care less about getting any views anywhere, quite frankly. So I don't know. I want to at least address that. I think we're pretty honest when we say, hey, this guy's garbage now and his market is in the barrel. Light mm-hmm. your cards on fire. Mm-hmm. But that is the story. Yeah. What else is there to say then? Okay, let's talk about some other points that I don't think are as bad or underperforming and some things that are actually doing pretty well right now. I don't know. I get a little bit tired with that whole, you know, the sky is falling narrative.
Well, I mean, even too, like the we keep hearing guys say like, oh, this card show I went to, there was nobody there, no one. But
that's almost
like,
always fake too.
Yeah. Everybody else says like, oh, no, I mean, there were plenty. I mean, there may be less than there was, but there's still a ton of people and prices just aren't. Guys who are selling at comps today. Guys who aren't selling are selling at comps last year.
Do your rundown, please. I stand by what I said. Ben Watson is the most sensitive person in NFL media.
Why don't you it might even be college people media. Know just so they just let the people
I don't even
know
what network it was on. It was a college show. I happened to just to come across the clip. A guy made a joke in a setting of like four guys goofing around. And he made it live on air. Well, oh yeah, and your wife texts me too. And literally they like walk off the set. I just, that type of stuff to me, if you're sitting around, it's not like it was an egregious comment. What are we doing? Like I insult you and vice versa, although more me. Off air, you're brutal to me, which is what I think is funny.
Not even.
Never once have I been like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk off. I'm going to leave. My feelings are hurt. Ben Watson is an ex-NFL player. He's like, come on. I have to think he's a multimillionaire, crazy successful, just a physical specimen. And he's upset because I saw that. I was like, this is like the most sensitive, overblown topic. That's
Tell us
it.
In the comments, which opener you like better? Where are they the market's going to zero or the...
Where are they commenting? What comments?
Just in the comments.
All right, do the rundown. Let's actually get into some NFL.
The rundown. We're going to be talking a little football.
Okay, hang on. I don't mind the rundown. Could you please stop that voice? Is there any chance?
Talk about football.
Thank you.
Mike has a couple points he wants to make about games over the last few days. We're also going to talk a little, are they oversold segment.
Don't tell them more. You leave them waiting.
Well, I'm just going to let them know today will involve NFL. But there can be times where we involve
NFL,
others.
Are they oversold?
Yes.
Don't give them any more detail.
That's it. Next on the rundown sheet. We're going to talk Panini soccer stickers. Maybe some of you saw the segment on 60 Minutes last night. We'll touch on that. There is a huge new release that we're going to discuss with guests, possibly, if our internet comes back. And then your mailbag.
Can we call Kyle if we can't get him on here?
Yeah, like call him on the phone?
Yeah,
we can probably
do that.
Because
I'd like to talk about this checklist. Okay.
Okay, so that brings us to...
We still have no internet.
Big picture.
That's the works. Picture. We that's still the works.
Yeah, what a shame that is. The Vikings and the Giants are...
Donzo.
In the words of Tom Haverford, Dunzo.
Oh, that's how you spelled that.
Dude,
okay.
You child.
You spelled it? I don't think that's how you spelled Dunzo,
You want to come to my pizza party? No, Dunzo. Dunzo. This is Tom... I mean, you get beat 40-3 at home.
It was a hard game. Maybe he's having a tough day.
I'd like to think that, and again, I'm going to overreact because this is what we do now.
Let's do it.
It's over.
It's over?
For the Vikings, I think, dude, I'm not kidding. They are now, I think they're 8-2 or 9-2. 8-2.
I was going to say, hey, I can tell you real quick.
I'm going to say they are 8-2. Right now, they're done. That's it. I would say at this point, they are not winning a playoff game. They may go in as a 1 or 2 seed. They're not winning a playoff game.
No wins. Okay. I mean,
they're brutal.
All right.
You cannot lose to competition. Like, they almost lost the week before to a good team, the Bills. And now you get absolutely demolished by the Cowboys at home,
by the way. But how many times have we seen this year where somebody lost to a team that they shouldn't have lost to?
It's too late in the year for it. I'm just telling you, and I don't trust their quarterback still.
Hey, we have internet.
We have internet. Jesse's going to hook us back up. But that's where I'm at with them. I think the Vikings are done. The Giants as well, I think, are done for this reason. And this relates to hobby as well. The Vikings, I thought, hey, we're going to finally start to see Justin Jefferson just go absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. It takes so much for a wide receiver to actually make hobby news and stay relevant. But it takes very little for him not to be. He's still the best receiver in football. But the fact now that this team got beat that bad, I think we're going to see, we won't see it today, obviously. But over the next couple of weeks, I think we're going to see his pricing kind of come back down to earth. Because it doesn't take much. Again, negative is much more impactful than a positive thing.
You say that, but like talk about Justin Fields. He got injured. He lost last week's game. We saw pricing essentially stay the same. He got injured and pricing... So if you look on Card Ladder, it shows worse than what it seems to actually be. Card Ladder shows his current pricing at $87 for his 2021 Prism PSA 10. But if you look at most recent sales in eBay, so as of, I guess maybe this is late yesterday, sold for $120 for his PSA 10, not just one sale, but there's actually another sale for $115. So
totally different example. Apples to oranges.
Well, I'm just pointing out the fact that people can be where we've seen lately where someone underperforms or someone gets hurt and then all hobby love just falls out. All hype just goes down to nothing. This, where you would think that would happen, that's not happening.
I wouldn't say, apples to oranges.
Why do you say that?
Justin Fields was a crazy, highly hyped up quarterback.
Yes, but the Bears have been terrible.
Who played terrible.
Mm-hmm.
He is now performing unbelievable. Even yesterday, I don't think it's a season-ending injury. He put up good numbers again, despite the fact that they lost. And he's a quarterback with hype.
Okay.
As opposed to a wide receiver who does not have hype 3 years after he's drafted, despite being very, very good.
You don't think he has any hype right now?
He has some, but not in the hobby. Not nearly as much as the 15th best quarterback in the league right now has more hype than the number one receiver in the game. In the hobby. I'm only talking about hobby relevance. Because okay. The quarterback is a crazy valued position in the hobby. So now that we start to see this guy have a meteoric rise because the team is playing so well. In other words, it takes more for a wide receiver to be hobby relevant than just performing great on the field. It took that team be having the best record in, or second best behind Philly, mm-hmm. the best record in football to do it. And now that they've lost, just like our internet was just lost again, just gone again. I think it's going to take. So now I do. I almost think for the year, I would be surprised if we see Justin Jefferson pricing any higher than they are today for the rest of the year.
Wow.
I don't think
that's
they're going
to. That's a strong take.
I just think by the end of the season, they make the playoffs, they lose in the playoffs. They do not have an elite quarterback. We knew that, but we thought he could at least play elite. I just don't think he can. And I don't even think the NFC is that great. I don't think the Vikings win a game in the postseason. I feel the same way about the Giants. I am selling Danny Dimes right now because it took so much. He came out, all this hobby hype, prices are expensive.
Were you still high on Danny Dimes?
No, but he played really well, so yeah. His pricing was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you come out as high and as hot as he did, mm-hmm. and you underperform for years. You fall right off the map. Then you have a great start to the season, so pricing comes way back for him and Saquon. It doesn't take much to lose that. Not to mention with the Giants, the majority of their wins this season, it was a weird stat yesterday, and I don't specifically remember it,
mm-hmm.
but the majority of their wins have come after being down at the start of the second half. In other words, they go into halftime losing. And that's not sustainable. Like, you're not going to, especially with a team like that, you're just not going to keep going down to teams and then pull it out.
Okay.
So I hate to say it, I'm down on those two teams and all those players, despite the fact they had this great resurgence. If I'm holding any of their cards, which quite frankly, I'm not. I don't have a single Justin Jefferson or Danny Dimes card. If I did, I would sell them right now. If my intent was anything other than to keep them forever, I'm selling right now.
So something that I wanted to talk about in reference to your point with Daniel Jones, there is something that we don't talk about as much, but someone appreciated this.
You love this. I like it. I actually do too. But I thought it was exciting to see how excited you were.
I'm not that excited.
You're elated.
I'm so excited. It's great.
Who's that voice?
It's just a very high-pitched, like, very excited voice.
Okay. Move along.
I want internet back. The thing that I was very pleasantly surprised with someone noticing is that we talked a little bit more about market capitalization.
What is that, by the way?
So market capitalization is very simple. It's the price of someone's card, so the last sold price, times the pop count of that card.
So there's 1,000 cards that are valued at $100. The market cap on that card is $10,000.
Now, the thing that's hard to do is you can only do market cap per grade. So a PSA 10 is going to be different than the SGC 10. So you can't say the overall amount of investment in this card is this number because...
So I can just combine them all.
That's what you could do is you can go and add like SGC 10 and a BGS 9.5 and put them all together and say that's how much is invested in this guy. But
you could do that.
You could, but in this situation where to keep things a little simpler...
PSA 10s.
We're talking PSA 10. And overall market cap suggests that there's more people having investments in Daniel Jones than Justin Fields. When I say more people, there's more money behind that card, their Prism rookies, PSA 10s, than Justin Fields right now.
Oh, that's because Fields hasn't had a ton of time with his Prism out. That pop's going to keep exploding.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, yes, the pop will continue to go up, but the thing that can be affected by that is pricing. And I do wonder how many people consider that. Like when they're looking at like what they're going to pay for this guy's card.
Very few.
And that's where I think more people should start considering that.
Okay.
Now to go along with
you
that.
You getting right into, is this the are they oversold thing?
No, we don't have to. I am ready for that, but I know you have a couple other points you wanted to make.
Mac and Zach played a very underwhelming game yesterday. That was as boring a football game as I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson looked like he does not belong in the NFL yesterday. Brutal. Despite, and I still am, I don't know why.
What are they, 5-5 right now?
They're both 6-4 now. They're all still in the playoffs. If the season ended today, this was the case before the game. I think that's still the case now. If the season ended right now, the entire – oh, I can't pull it up because my internet doesn't work. But in make-pretend land where I have internet, like I think the whole AFC East is still in the playoff picture.
I've got AFC East here.
I mean, I'm saying for the playoffs. So that's my point. I lied. So right now the Jets they're tied. Same record as Cincy, both 6-4. Mm-hmm. They are technically the 8th seed, not the 7th. So they're still relevant. But man, Zach Wilson just, and I think he has some weapons there. Garrett Wilson, the defense is playing really well. I don't know. I'm starting to go back on my take that this, although my take is like in a year or two, he may be an actual performer.
Because you have Zach Wilson cards, don't you?
Very little. I don't have a ton of money in them because they're so super cheap anyways.
Yeah.
Mac Jones, kind of the same way. I don't know if it just comes down to coaching or system or both. On paper, Mac Jones actually put up a very good, like if you didn't watch that game at all yesterday, mm-hmm. actually, you're a good example of this. Let me just read these stats to you. No, just because you're not, you didn't watch the game. I can't imagine. Did you watch any of the Patriots-Jets game yesterday?
I watched the first quarter and it was so boring that I changed it.
Mac Jones was 23 of 27, 247 yards, didn't throw any interceptions. Also no touchdowns, but no interceptions.
How many yards did you say?
246.
Oh.
Pretty good game.
Okay, yeah.
On paper. That's a crazy high completion percentage.
No interception, yeah, okay.
QBR was 20.
That's low.
He was terrible yesterday. I mean, he was not terrible. He didn't do anything to lose the game, although he did take some pretty horrendous sacks. Mm-hmm. But at least he doesn't do things to lose the game, I guess. And I'm probably grasping at this point. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that they're still winning. Maybe he's that type of guy. It's never going to be sexy and the numbers aren't great, but he's going to keep winning. I still have some hope for Mac Jones.
How long ago was it that people started putting more money behind Zach Wilson? Would you say it's been
less than 3 months because he was out the first 4 weeks.
Okay, because
then he came out and he played pretty well. They won in Green Bay. They had some actually big road wins. But he's a quarterback. When he plays good defenses, he looks mm-hmm. totally lost.
Okay, because I was going to mention to tie in, the market cap on Zach Wilson is only $8,700 for his PSA 10 rookie versus again, Mac Jones, which is almost like $47,000. But there are more people investing in Mac Jones earlier.
And his pricing is way higher.
And so we're probably going to expect, like you mentioned, there's guys already sent cards off to be graded, but they may not be back yet.
But that would be the case for both of them, the same class.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
what's Mac Jones selling for, though, individually? Is he outselling them 3-1?
No, Mac Jones only sells for $32 right now versus...
As a Prism PSA 10.
Prism PSA 10.
What's Zach selling?
28.
Interesting. I didn't know they were that close. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. I don't know what that means, but I like it.
Well, I do think that it means that either Zach Wilson's really undervalued or we're going to see a big spike in those numbers, the pop count coming up soon.
I think that's the case for sure. Next topic, I have two more and then you can do your thing. Christian Watson, one of the few unexpected guys this year who I think I may be right about. Two more touchdowns. Granted, they lost against Tennessee. That kid's a legit number one receiver. I don't know that they're going to make any. I'm getting to the point with Green Bay. I think they're just done. I don't think they're making the playoffs. But quite frankly, they're not crazy out of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, depending what San Francisco does tonight, if San Francisco loses, which I don't think they're going to, you're talking 2-3 games out with 6 games to play. Again, it doesn't look great for them by any means, but mm-hmm. is there a possibility where Aaron Rodgers goes on this crazy run and they win the rest of the... Maybe. But either way, the Christian Watson kid looks like a monster. That's been kind of one of the few high notes. And then Dak Prescott. Dak looked phenomenal yesterday. Again, I don't normally watch like an entire Cowboys game, and they took it off TV, which was fun. At one point, they were like, we're now switching over to the Cincy Steelers game. It's a more competitive game because this thing was a blowout.
Oh, that's what happened because I turned on that game towards the end, and it was like the Steelers game. Yeah.
He was 22 of 25, 275 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, QBR 93.
93.
And he was phenomenal.
Dang.
Do you have his pricing by chance?
Dak?
Yep.
I do.
Because the only reason I'm curious about him is I have recently bought some Dak stuff. What's his Prism Silver doing right now?
Oh, I don't have silver, bro.
They're all silver.
Oh, they are silver. I'm sorry. I do.
2016 PSA 10.
So he does $352.
Oh, really? That's actually still pretty low. Overall, what was that card doing a month ago? Can you see that?
No, I cannot because of internet.
Okay, no problem.
It is interesting, though, going back to overall investment in that card, it is one of the higher value cards of the, like, I pulled up maybe like about 15 quarterbacks that are currently playing. And he is...
I paid $300 for that card, by the way, right at about a month ago.
He is the fourth most invested, as far as most money behind that card.
Okay.
So almost $470,000.
I mean, they are now 7-3. Again, I don't think the Giants are anything at the end of the year. At this point, I really have lost all faith. The little faith I had in the Giants, I've pretty well lost. And so you're looking at them as a wild card because Philly's still two games up. I don't think they're catching Philly, although very well could. But yeah, I think Dak might be another guy you start to take a look at. Anyway, so those are my kind of four, a couple things I want to at least touch on. Do your Are They Oversold thing, because you have more to do with this.
So yeah, this is something I just found interesting because when I was going through some of the indexes for football, I wanted to see based on PSA 10s of guys, you know, rookie cards that the hobby agrees is their rookie. Who right now could you invest in and still have a decent upside of making some money on? And I say decent upside just because a lot of times these guys start selling and they just become oversold. So that being said, Michael Paul, do you have an opinion on Mike Evans 2014 Topps Chrome PSA 10? Current value of this card is $21.50. It is down 70% over the last month.
Wouldn't touch it.
Wouldn't touch it.
Nope.
Okay. Terry McLaurin.
Scary Terry.
Scary Terry is everybody. I call him that. 2019 Prism PSA 10. Down $67. Currently selling at $10.35 for his PSA 10.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, yesterday, what did he do yesterday? Four catches, 55 yards. I mean, maybe he's having a bad season. I do like the kid, though. All right, so he has 792 yards a season. That's eighth in the league, two touchdowns. But they, I mean, say what you want about Taylor Heinicke. He's at least playing well, and they had a big game again yesterday, and they're 6-5. For $10?
$10.
I would load up on that card. Who cares, right?
Okay.
Super cheap.
Yep.
And I think there's some upside with Washington. That's a team that might sneak into the playoffs.
Jonathan Taylor. 2020 Prism.
Dude, this is a weird one. PSA 10. I comped a Jonathan Taylor 2020 Prism Silver PSA 9. It's doing like $25 to $30.
Well, like, that's what this is doing. His base, PSA 10
is doing that?
$25. It's down 58% over the last month.
That's another classic example, though, of a guy who played unbelievably well last year, like almost MVP level. But then this year, the team is total garbage. I mean, they're 4-6-1. They're nowhere near the playoffs. I mean, what's the upside for Jonathan Taylor this year, I guess, is where I kind of go with it,
yep. Like,
which is sad. Now, if it continues, though, that's a guy in the offseason. I'd look at him and be like, hey, he's probably top three at his position, and it's the second or third best position to invest in or buy and trade in. Quarterback's one, receiver, running back, or 2 and 3.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to do that, I'm not doing it now. Again, I just don't see any upside this season.
Okay.
Because even if he has some monster games.
Yeah.
The team is just so bad. And he is, I mean, he's not underperformed. He's having a pretty good season. He's still going to, he's got 700 yards. I mean, he's going to have a big season. But after doing what he did last year and the team underperforming, yeah. I just wait.
Okay. I was wondering what you were going to say about that. So wait, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could do better eventually.
Eventually, but yeah, like right now, I just don't see, I mean, like I'm looking at his game by game breakdown. He's only gone over 100 yards twice this season. Oh, week one.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks ago against the Raiders. Yeah, I mean.
Okay.
Three total touches. It's just very underwhelming for him.
You know who's next on this list? Is Zach Wilson being down almost 57%.
Same thing. I don't know that I'm messing with him much now. Although it's tough with quarterbacks because if he has a very good game, he's not a running back. He's not a receiver. He is a quarterback. One big game and all of a sudden it's, no, we were wrong. There is something there.
Yeah.
And that team still is 6-4. For $20, $25,
$28.
$28. I don't think that's a bad buy.
Same thing with Mac Jones being at $32, down about 55%.
Same thing. It's super cheap for a starting top. I mean, he's probably still realistically, and I don't think he's great, a top 15 type quarterback in the league.
Okay.
On a team that's 6-4 and is in the playoffs right now. I think there is upside this year, and that seems cheap for a quarterback's Prism card. I don't care about pop count. It's crazy high. It seems cheap.
All right. I got three more for you.
Go.
Nick Chubb, 2018 Prism PSA 10.
Running back, team's irrelevant. Nope. Yep. I don't care what the price is.
Okay. It's $50.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. All right. Then
what next year?
That is 2018.
Oh, which is funny. That's not a silver. That's a base still. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So then the next one is Baker Mayfield.
He just came back and started again yesterday. Mm-hmm. But he's playing for Carolina. I mean, I guess that's an NFL team if you want to make a stretch and call it that. The team is garbage. I'm trying to think of what he did. I don't think he did anything. 21 of 33, two interceptions.
Only $20 for that card for a PSA 10. Down 46%.
I guess maybe it's worth like, hey, but even then, I would say if you're going to do it, just wait till the offseason.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's the worst buy in the world if he's going to start next year. Mm-hmm. But they're also terrible. They're probably going to have a high draft pick. So is he starting? If not in Carolina, I think Baker's probably still a starter in the NFL somewhere when he's healthy. So wait till the offseason.
Actually, I have two more. One is just, three, I know. Four total. Jameis Winston.
No, doesn't matter what the price is.
Just nothing. Okay. Nope. This one I just find interesting because it's so cheap. Drew Luck, down 45%, sells for $8.39 for his PSA 10.
What team is Drew Luck playing for? He's still with Denver?
Yeah, I have no idea. I thought it was the Colts, so I have no idea.
I mean, the fact that I don't know, the fact that you don't know where he plays.
Well, I would have looked it up, but we don't have internet.
No, it's fine. I'm not investing in Drew Luck. I don't think there's a scenario in the world in which he starts again.
Not even $8. Okay, cool. No. All right. That's your NFL. Are they oversold segment?
I don't hate that. That was a cool segment. Hey, so the Panini sticker thing, I saw it was on after the late game yesterday. You actually watched some of it. Could you give like a quick
30 seconds? It's really, just a history and what the market looks like today. What was actually kind of cool was seeing, some of the behind the scenes, like printing of these stickers in the factory. As we know, it's sold here, but I don't know if they're all made in Italy, I guess, or if some of them are also made here. But it's what they really highlighted is how it is so huge still in Europe, and it's not really being sold, bought and sold. It's really more traded for the most part, but there are some huge collectors. Like, guys, there was one guy who had, like, closets of these stickers over the years. Like, really, it didn't highlight any cards. It's all stickers. A guy reached out to me actually last night saying that he was ripping some packs of these for some kids at school, and he actually pulled, oh man, I don't even remember. I want to say a Messi,
super rare Messi.
It was worth like $2,000. So there is definitely still some value behind these, but again, that segment didn't cover that. But what it did kind of highlight, if you're interested in watching it, you can go to 60 Minutes Online and watch the segments, like 12 minutes. I thought it was like just really interesting to see how the hobby is, I guess, broken out in Europe as far as like, it doesn't seem, at least they didn't highlight this, it doesn't seem as much about the money and more about just having fun with it. So that being said, I think I would like some Panini stickers. I wish we still had my book and you didn't give it away to somebody, but
gave it away to kids.
I know. I'm happy for them. Anyways, that's your Panini soccer sticker segment.
Okay.
Oh, we got to talk about the Luca before we go on the new release.
By the way, I just dumped a guest for today. I just told Kyle.
Yeah, well, at this point, we don't have an option.
At this point, we're not going to sing and dance. We'll do some Bowman Chrome. Maybe you can come on Wednesday. I don't know.
I do have an article about the Bowman Chrome up. I think we can.
I would say this, the only thing interesting about Bowman Chrome this year, 2022 Bowman Chrome, as always, hobby and HTA. So HTA is just three autograph cards, no base. Hobby is of two autographs a box, but all the base, color, et cetera. I've never seen this happen before. Hobby releases Wednesday. HTA releases on Friday. Two different release dates, which is kind of weird.
You said they usually come out together?
Always. I've never had it come out separately. So,
do you think they're going to do like maybe some big sale? Like a Black... Because we already know Panini's talked about doing a Black Friday sale. I wonder... Do you
think Topps is doing that?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's doing it.
I have no idea.
To throw that out there, Pristine is doing a big Black Friday sale. So they're giving away like $25 for anybody who bids on any of their 10-minute auctions on Friday. So a little giveaway. You're also entered to win. They've got like a Larry Bird jersey and a few other signed jerseys that they're giving away. So if you guys are interested in bidding on Black Friday stuff, you get some discounts there.
All right. I was going to say we're back, although if you're listening, we never really left. After the internet dropped off a bunch, we realized it didn't record the last 25 minutes of the pod.
And the fact that we didn't have internet, as you may or may not recall from the multiple times we've said it, we didn't have a backup recording. So
there you go.
Here we are.
And it's Eddie's first time doing this podcast, producing solo. We're trying to make it real challenging for the kid.
What a day.
This is our segmented piece together mailbag that we're going to end it with. Mailbag. I said it.
Dang it. All right. Going right into the question from Jim.
I feel
Jim.
Like I've heard these before.
Oh, wait. Which one did you want me to start with? I don't even remember now.
Are you kidding me?
Eric Young. Are there others like me who love collecting 90s and early 90s? I'm sorry, late 90s, early 2000s chrome refractors? For myself, I collect Maddox.
Eric Young, I think the vast majority of people in our age group, I say are 28 to 44. I don't know where I got that from.
That's an interesting age group, but okay.
That's what we're all about. I'm all about, I would rather have a early 2000s, late 90s Griffey refractor than almost anything new that is being produced. Frank Thomas, Pedro, all the guys I grew up with. Absolutely. So you are not alone.
And overall, back then, refractors, numbered stuff was much less
common. All that stuff was way less common, yeah. And I mean, if you look at what had the crazy spikes at the beginning of this whole pandemic, back in 2020, it was all this kind of stuff. Because guys like us were like, hey, I'm getting into this hobby, and I'm going to go buy the stuff I liked and remembered as a kid. Win-win.
Joe Dorenzo, 2022 Topps Chrome hobby cases have dropped to around $1,700 a case.
Take a breath.
Is it crazy? It's just funny that we're just doing this all over again. We've already answered all of these. Is it crazy to think that this is a great long-term hold? He then goes on to mention past pricing for each of those boxes or cases.
I actually agree. I think it is. Wander, I think, is a generational talent. And you probably have some other guys who become very good out of this class. And it's not that bad of a product. The issue, of course, is the other guys were left off, the Witt, Torkelson, and Julio. But they're in those super fractors. Yeah. They're in the silver packs. You can still get the variations there. So they're tough pulls, but that's why the value got hurt so much. Here's what's interesting. 2021, he didn't mention this.
$1,300 a case.
Man, it's nice. Yeah, we already did the research. So 2021 is $1,300 a case, and it's an abysmal class. The fact that this is only 20% more than that, or 30% more, is pretty ridiculous. And considering 2020, which has Jordan and Louis Robert at $2,400, I think there's more upside on this than there is down.
So you think the price is hurt that badly because the packs, the silver packs, are not included in the box?
But I'm saying it's $1,700 and that includes silver packs. Yeah. It hurts because I'm not going to be able to pull 15 base of those guys out of a case like I normally would.
I see. Okay.
Like that is what people are missing. It's not the big chase. It's the numbers game, the grading, all the base I'm going to hit. So it's never going to hit these, but I think it's a better class than that. To put in perspective though, you know, 2019, Vlad Tatis, Alonzo Tucker is 5,100. This is never getting there. Mm. But there's no reason this couldn't get to half of that. And then you go to the 18, Acuna, Otani, Devers, 9,600. Again, we're probably never getting close to that. But I like the upside of 2022. Yes. But I would, again, preface that. I want silver packs no matter what.
Michael Cianfrone, hold one, rip one. Bowman Chrome Hobby versus Bowman Chrome HTA.
You rip the Bowman Chrome Hobby. There's a ton of value in the base and all the extra cards you get in that as opposed to HTA where it's just autos. And I think HTA is incredibly easy to move as a case. Breakers love it. You're literally just ripping three cards a pack. There's nothing to do. There's no sort time. It's perfect. So HTA is very easy down the road when you want to sell it. Bam, sell that. And you rip the hobby because even if you don't hit a big auto, you can really make up for a lot of that with just grading your way out with all the other base cards, numbered cards, inserts, et cetera.
Our spy from Microsoft is back, Travis Melinda Gates.
You made that joke the first time.
I know. They don't know that.
They do now.
Where's the best? It was that good of a joke. Where's the best place to buy cards online? eBay, other websites, some secret store he hasn't heard of?
I don't remember being that funny the first time either, just so to be clear.
It killed and you weren't aware of that.
eBay is a great place to buy. I mean, obviously there's live streaming apps like ours, Card Shop Live. There are Facebook groups, Instagram groups, virtual card shows. I mean, there's a ton of other places. So yeah, I don't know. My slabs, I mean, it's really pick your poison. Where do you want to find cards?
Darren Dom asks, is there any way to send a card back to PSA for regrading?
Yeah, we talked about this one and I cut you off then like I did this time.
I know, I was just waiting.
He had a Trevor Lawrence. He's like, I thought I had a chance at a 10. It came back a 4. It seems like maybe they made a mistake. If that's the case, send it back in. I don't know how PSA handles this. I know SGC, if I say, hey, there's a mistake and it comes back that's true, they grade it for free. I don't know with PSA, but if you think that firmly about it, then send it back in. for sure.
You had mentioned that that is not that inconceivable. You've had that happen to you before.
I've had cards come back. I had a Barry Sanders rookie come back recently. When I got it back, I was like, man. And sure enough, I had missed a little, very light, but a little crease on the back. And it brought the surface grade way, way down. So the card graded like a 3 or a 4.
Man, that's
so
crazy.
It's possible that you just missed something. But if you're that confident you didn't, take a shot and send it back in.
Christopher Duff, I already made a comment on the first recording. You don't get another comment. Christian Miller wants to know, for Mike, with it being off season for baseball, is this a good time to submit stuff for PSA to get back before the season starts versus using SGC?
Good time for both. There. I mean, PSA, obviously you have time now. If you want to sub there, it's going to take a few months. Fantastic. However, I would add this with baseball, stuff changes a lot. There's a lot of offs just because pro ball is done. Winter ball, the fall leagues, all these other things are going on still. And then spring ball picks up early. I would still much rather have my stuff back quickly. If it's expensive, big stuff, that's one thing. PSA, no question, it's fine. But I still think there's value in the quick return time for a lot of the smaller stuff with SGC.
Ken Griffin.
I said this last time, favorite question of the week. This is a really good one.
He wants to rank in order of importance to hobby sustainability the following.
We're going
to
go one at a time like we did last time, and you heard these grades. So I'm going to ask you, what did I grade physical shops?
You graded that a 10 out of 10, bro.
Absolutely. Shops are invaluable to the hobby. For people our age, even for younger guys, your first experience happens at a shop for a lot of people. There's a one-on-one connection with the shop owner. Granted, some of them are just social donkeys. That's fine. People love card shops. They are immensely valuable on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 out of 10 importance to hobby sustainability. Next, please.
Wouldn't you say invaluable in terms like that and priceless? Don't they sound like it's worth less? To me, it sounds less than more.
Okay.
Breakers is the next one up.
People are going to argue with this. It's the fact, though. 10 of 10 importance. So much product is opened by breakers. If product is not opened, then singles are not for sale. Then secondary sales can't happen. Then grading cannot happen. Breakers are super valuable to the hobby. Well, now, there are some scummy breakers. They have no value. They have no place in it. Shun them, just like Dwight shunned Andy. But in general, that they still open a huge percentage of product, especially expensive stuff, because guys don't have the budget to rip it on their own. So breakers are crazy valuable to the hobby.
When I asked a question, you made the point that it is so important, too, because you can't get access to cards like at a local card shop for many places around the country. They don't even have one in their towns. This is the best way to do it.
I agree.
Flippers.
This one I was split on. So 0 out of 10 for retail flippers. They could leave tomorrow. I don't care. For guys flipping singles, though, very super valuable. 7, 8 out of 10.
Last time you said 8, now 7.
I couldn't remember what I said. Yeah. So probably, I mean, because again, if I have somebody I can flip my cards to, granted, they're going to buy it for 70, 80%, mm-hmm. but who cares? It gives me capital. It gives me an outlet to sell stuff. Then they go and fund those other areas. Hey, because they paid top dollar, they're going to go sell their stuff for top. So I think singles flippers are very valuable. Retail flippers, 0.
Last time I did not disagree with you about the 0, but I do think like for those guys that, because we don't think about them sometimes because we're not as into the retail side of things, but I do think there's a large portion of the hobby that buys a lot of retail.
So they don't need to buy it from a flipper though.
Need to buy it from a flipper, but a lot of times, at least these days, I've been noticing a lot of retail is being sold for basically what they're getting it for at the store or maybe so just slightly more.
So same thing then. Even if you don't have it in your area, you could go online and buy it at Target if retail flippers weren't clearing it out. Mm-hmm. You would still have access. I'm telling you, retail flippers add nothing.
Okay. Show dealers.
50-50. 5 out of 10. I think shows are important. But the dealers themselves, you always have more dealers. I don't know. I don't think, and I don't know how many are that valuable. There are good dealers, but there are a lot of just useless dealers who are not there to make deals and not there to actually make transactions happen because of their pricing or just how they are socially. So I'm like a 5 out of 10 on show dealers.
Retail stores selling product.
I like this. Again, the easiest way to find product is for a guy to go in the middle of nowhere to walk into a Walmart and buy a prism hanger. And it gives you a crazy cheap access point as well, especially if we're taking out the retail flippers. Kids can go in and buy decent product, cheap access, easy access, very valuable. 8.5 out of 10.
I don't remember there being a half last time, but that's okay.
No one asked you.
So this last one, I think we established it may need to be two separate things, but he put together third-party sales channels such as eBay or other apps for selling.
Yeah, the point, eBay is a 10 out of 10. It is still, anybody who argues with this, by the way, I just think is not that in touch with the hobby because people will still say, well, eBay is the authority on comps. That is the plain truth about it. People argue that it's my card, it's worth what somebody will pay. All these stupid things. Like that, by the way, is one of the dumbest lines in the hobby. It's worth what somebody's willing to pay. People have already paid something like that, and they probably bought on eBay, so you can see what people were willing to pay. It is the authority on comps. There's also by far the most transactions on eBay, and it's international. It's everywhere. Everybody has access to eBay. You can buy and sell there. You know, yes.
Other than it being like a one of one, I think that's the really
even one of ones though. So find comparable players of the same card, or find comparable products of the same players one of one.
What about that one of one Chris Farley card that just got pulled this weekend?
Crazy expensive. I hope that dude sells it to you.
I want it so bad.
Other sales channels, important, but not as. And again, I'm saying that as the owner of Card Shop Live. It's an important outlet. I'd like to think it gains more importance as we build out the community aspect and now the loyalty program and all that stuff's in there. But it's not nearly as valuable as eBay. And it will never have the exposure of eBay or even Whatnot. Whatnot's a $4 billion company. It's about a tenth as big as eBay, despite that thing being massive. So eBay, 10 of 10, other platforms on the high side, 8, and, you know, digressing from there.
9.5 for Card Shop Live, everyone else.
9.2.
Yep. That was our...
Now we're really done. If we didn't record this time, I'm going to say this on air. Jesse is fired.
Yep. No, that's fair.
There you go.
Wait. We got to let him know, though. We did... Why? In the last episode, or the last recording, we let everyone know what's going to happen on the next episode.
So you have Eric... his name is Eric. I forget his last name.
Eric, he is numbers guy.
The collectibles guru. By the way,
who did the backyard breaker.
I just had the revelation looking at him. He's the kid. He was our contact at Golden last year when they were sponsoring the show.
He was our contact?
Wait till you see this kid. He was the dude on all the meetings there. Yes.
What?
100% that's him.
That's hilarious.
Yep. We're going to.
And he has 300 something thousand followers on Instagram.
So we're going to have him on the pod on Wednesday. Then we're going to try to see if we can hire him to run our socials or integrate socials. I haven't told you that yet. Let's try to throw some money at this guy.
Sure.
I don't know if he's a guy or a kid.
He's gonna
he has cheap. Facial hair, so I can't tell if he's 26 or 40.
Tough I don't grow facial hair, and I'm considered an adult. So.
Well, by some. All right. Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by The Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. Take number 2 came out so much better. Don't even worry about the lost footage.
We should always record it twice.
Goodbye. See you Wednesday.
Bye.